All right, good morning. How's everybody today? We're going to pick up where we left off in the teaching. This is a new diagram we started last week. It's on Satan, the god of this age, as the kind of the theme. But this diagram kind of shows you a lot of what we've been talking about over the last several weeks. But it also has interesting things that goes beyond even the realm of the spirit. If you'll notice, you've got actually the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven represented there. We've correlated that with body, soul, and spirit. First heaven revelation is fleshly. It can be attained through the physical universe. Knowledge from the physical world is kind of first heaven revelation. Second heaven revelation is that dimension that is invisible, but it's where the demonic beings and the angelic beings do warfare. It's also where, if you can receive this, you're present right now. You're there. You're in the second heavens. You've been raised to sit with Christ in heavenly places. And that's an interesting concept, because here's what it kind of reveals to us, and we're going to be talking a little bit about this today. And I'm hoping that if you don't agree with this perspective, it's fine, but I'm going to give you a perspective, and then you just kind of take it to the Lord yourself a little bit here. But I want you to listen to this. Satan is kind of mandated to destroy you. How many of you know that? He seeks for your destruction. However, you are not the objective of his strategy. You're not that important. And when we get to this idea that, and I've heard people, I was raised growing up hearing people say, "Boy, I tell you, the devil's been after me all week long." Well, watch it. Listen, here's the truth of the matter. There probably wasn't a council meeting in hell about you. You're just not that significant in the strategy or the objective of Satan. Satan does have an objective. Now, I want to tell you what, for the most part, what's going on. They're started in eons past. At the fall of Lucifer, there started a great war between God the Creator and Lucifer the Created. Okay? And as a result of that war, there is fallout on the earth, of which you live on. Now, here's the truth. I hope you hear, if you don't hear nothing else, try to hear this, okay? You are enlisted in this warfare to fight either in God's army or in Satan's army. By default, if you default in making a decision to enlist voluntarily, you by default go into the army of Satan. You can say you're a conscientious objector all you want to and say, "No, I don't believe in heaven or hell. I don't believe in God or the devil." Doesn't matter what you believe. This is not a matter that is open for first heaven opinion, because second and third heaven is at war and the fallout is on earth. Why did that start? And I started asking myself this question a long time ago, and I'm kind of weird, and I know that, and I know I'm a little bit bizarre in my thinking, and so just bear with me for a minute. But I started asking this question at one point. See if you can relate to this. I don't know what I have ever done to the devil to make him so mad. And I wonder why he don't like me. I think I'm a pretty good person. So why is Satan so mad at me? Why What is it about the inhabitants of the earth that he seeks their destruction so greatly? And why is he so angry that he would do anything within his power to disrupt or destroy my life? You've heard me say this before. I think the Word of God is pretty plain here that Satan is probably the world's greatest psychologist. And through his inventory of satanic beings that have assignment to study you and that has had assignment to study your family, your heritage. See, here's what the accumulation of evidence is this way. Our DNA is arranged so that Christopher is a whole lot like his dad. He's a whole lot like his mom. There's nothing Christopher can do about that. He's their son. Haley is their daughter. I mean, there is several times that in my relationship with Haley, I can she'll do something, say something, she'll gesture in some way, and I can look at her and say, that's Joe Barrett. Or I can look at her and I can say, that's Dawn Barrett. Why? Because the DNA is passed down and we are like our parents. Joe Barrett got that from his dad and his mom, who got it from his dad and his mom, and so on. So watch this. Listen, all Satan has to do is make a psychological analysis of your family to come up with what is your greatest vulnerabilities and weaknesses. Now, that's on an individual basis, okay? Now, you go on back further and you have Ephesians 6, which everybody knows real well. We just sung a song about it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness in high places. What does all that mean? If you go back through the Old Testament, you'll learn that every geographical area on the earth has a principality assigned to it that affects government, that affects laws of man, that affects culture and society. Discovering what those principalities are and their nature and essence can describe and define for you why those areas act the way they do. Y'all hear what I'm saying so far? Everybody say, I'm listening. Okay, so watch this. Listen, can I tell you something? Vladimir Putin's never had an original idea. He is merely playing out through influence of second heaven. He's playing out on earth this ginormous warfare that's going on between God and Satan. And you have to choose a side. Okay. Now, I want to share with you a little bit about why I think Satan's so mad at us. Okay. What is it that got him at the very outset to want to, what are you doing, Satan? I'm walking about seeking whom I may devour. What is it about us that has got him in that way? Well, we're going to start with this diagram all the way over here at the beginning, and some of you've got hard copies. But here's what it shows us: Satan and this top line over here, all the way to the left. How many of you see that? It's got Satan up at the top, and then it's got a title given to him in Ezekiel 28. We'll look at it in just a minute. And the title is the Anointed Cherub. Okay, so there's some information in the Word of God about who Lucifer was before he became Satan. Okay, but he is the anointed cherub. Look at the line that comes down, and in this diagram by Clarence Larkin, he's got it. And listen, we can talk about, and we will, we'll talk about some of these events on the earth, but the way he's got it diagrammed is the original earth, the chaotic earth, then the restored earth, okay? But this line from heaven to earth, Satan begins at the top as the anointed cherub. Then he comes to the original earth, and Isaiah 14 is the scripture there. what we're going to do is we're going to talk about Lucifer and Satan's beginning. And that could be a kind of a bad way to put it, but maybe it's not. Lucifer had a beginning. God has no beginning. Everybody say amen on that. Sounds simplistic, but we need to understand that. That Lucifer is a created being. Lucifer's beginning was before Satan's beginning. Answering this insane question that everybody asks, well, if God's real, why did he create the devil? God didn't create the devil. The devil created, in fact, himself by perverting the creation that he was in its original form. When God created Lucifer, he was the anointed cherub that covers, the guardian, if you will, of what God was creating. Okay, and that's what the anointed cherub, and in Ezekiel, we're not going to have time, I know, to get through all of this, but the illusion of the anointed cherub that covers is from Ezekiel drawing an analogy of the two cherubim who was stretched out over the mercy seat with their wings touching one another, guarding the mercy seat. So Lucifer's original state was a state of guardianship. And that's important. That's important. We're then going to talk about Satan's beginning, because these two scriptures kind of gives you a unique perspective. It talks about Lucifer in his original form, and then it talks about his fall in Isaiah. Okay? Some would tell you this, and there may be some truth to it. We're going to read the text in just a moment, but I want you to hear this because I think it's interesting. In his title as the anointed cherub that covers, could it be that Lucifer was in charge of this original earth? Could that be something that we need to contemplate and consider? See, watch. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How many of you believe God's perfect? So how many of you believe that anything that comes from God is perfect? So when God created the heavens and the earth, they were perfect. Would you agree with that? But in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 it says, then the earth was without form and void. In the Hebrew language, it really indicates this. It says this in the original language. It says, and the earth became formless. And it was empty and void. I want to take you back to Genesis 1:1 for a minute. If Lucifer, the anointed cherub that covers from Ezekiel 28, which again, we'll read the text, and that may be all the time that we'll have just to get to the reading of the text, but I'm introducing to you this diagram. But if we get to this place where Satan, who is the anointed cherub that covers, if he was in charge of the original earth, okay? If he was the guardian of the original earth, later on, God creates Adam and Eve. And you know what he says to Adam and Eve? He says, I want you to subdue the earth. I want you to take authority over the earth. You know how Satan views that? God took away what was given to him and gave it to us. That's why he hates us so much. In his perspective, we infringed upon his territory and look at what a mess us humans are. How dare you, God, to do such a thing as that? So it's all about, if you can grab this, it's all about our authority given by God over the earth that has created this fallout between mankind and Satan. But watch this, listen, you're not the target. The target is the earth. That's what Satan's after. That's why he wants to rule the world. He wants the earth. How many of you are hearing what I'm saying so far? Okay, so there's all kinds of elements here that I'm hoping that if we can stay focused through weeks to come and on track, here's what, when you manifest, hear this part, okay? When you manifest God-ordained authority, that's when Satan comes after you. If Satan can stop you from manifesting God authority, then he's got you right where he wants you. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Now watch this. You know what else that means? It means when we do manifest God-given authority, that's when we're damaging Satan. That's how you knock down the gates of hell.
Yes.
Are you with me? It's all wrapped up in authority. And it hinges upon the simple thing that God said to Adam and Eve when he created them, subdue the earth. Subdue the earth. Take authority over what I have created. Now let's go back to the original earth and let me just tell you this real quick, okay? Our perspective of the earth is a little bit skewed if all we look at it is through the physical eyes. Okay, because watch, how many of you have seen beautiful things on the earth? How many of you get a kick out of that? My Uncle Bob, he's 83 years old, and I talked to him this week. He's 83 years old. I thought he was finishing. He's still got about 100 miles left on the Appalachian Trail, and he'll have it completed. He just did 86 miles up in the northern mountains of Maine on the Appalachian Trail in 9 days. It's the hardest part of the Appalachian Trail to do. And at age 83, he did 9 days up there. As a matter of fact, it was a 37-year-old girl that was hiking the trail during this time. The trail is so rocky and rough, she broke her leg while she was out there. And Uncle Bob had to hike off of the trail and go get help and come back to get her. But you'd have to know Bob. But nonetheless, he hikes off of the trail. He was 4 miles or 2 miles from where he was going to finish the day. And he runs into this woman, and she's got a broke leg. He hikes off of the trail, gets help, comes back, but he finished his 2 miles before he stopped. You know, that's just the way he does. And but he has described the beauty that he has seen all through the Appalachian Trail. He started in Springer Mountain, Georgia. He's up in Maine, and he's described the beauty that he's seen. Can I tell you what he's describing? He's describing physical eye beauty in a physical material world that has left its original form, went through chaos, and now is cursed with sin. Now, can I tell you what that tells us about the original creation of God's earth? It tells us that the earth is merely a reflection of heaven through the heart of God placed into the material universe. We have yet to behold such glory yet. Matter of fact, I'll tell you this. Eye hath not seen. Ear hasn't heard. It has not even entered into our hearts what God hath prepared for those that love Him. Now we get a little deeper into why Satan hates us so much. It's not just about authority. It's about this. It's about he hates those that loves God. You know why? Because those that loves God will get to have authority over the earth in its original form when the sin curse is lifted. That's what we're going to rule and reign over. Well, can I tell you, I just gave you enough information right there for you to have revival. You should be so excited right now in your spirit. And if you're not, it's because you're living life through physical eyes and not spirit eyes. You hearing what I'm saying? So it begins with this concept of the anointed cherub that covers possibly being the guardian over the original earth. But because of his fall in Isaiah, because of his fall, that authority was stripped from him and given to the creation of man. Satan don't like that idea. With that said, turn, if you will, to Ezekiel 28. Y'all following me so far? Ezekiel 28. I'm just going to read the text, and then we'll put up a few statements for that you can have. But because of who I am, and some of you will learn this, I know, or already do know this. We're going from the first part of this slide, and it's real difficult to go from the first part of that slide all the way to the book of Revelation, but we're going to have to because of who I am. Okay? All right, so that's going to happen in times to come. It's the only way that I can show you what I think is at the forefront of this ginormous warfare that you're enlisted in and you're fighting in. And I got to tell you, there's days when you're on God's side, and then there's days when you're on the enemy's side. There's double agents everywhere. I meet them in churches all the time. I go in one Sunday, and man, listen, there's an army ready to march down the gates of hell and just make charge against the devil. One old preacher, Willard Reedy, used to say that you come into church and sometimes people so excited, they'd swing out over hell on a wet noodle and yell boo at the devil. Right? And then there's times when you come into the house of God and I can tell, you've done changed sides. Because you bring in emotion and fruit that is not manifested from God's Spirit, but that's manifested by the works of flesh that Satan has strategically attacked. Are y'all with me so far? So when we're reading Ezekiel 28, it leads us all the way, it gives us characteristics from that passage, especially into Revelation 18, 17, the formation of this city called Babylon. I've got to say one more thing before we read the text. So, grab this. And this is fundamental. This is basic. This just gives us foundation that we can start arranging some thoughts on, okay? But it's important. There is only one creator, and that's God. Let me say that again. There is only one creator, and that's God. There's even a culture now in the church, and I think it's in the secular world as well, but it's a culture that's starting. It's a group They call themselves the creatives. I get a little leery of that terminology. I understand what they're meaning. They're talking about people like Haley who writes songs, people who paint pictures, and they're called the creatives. I understand what's meant by that, but we need to keep this in mind. Those are psychological and subtle ways that Satan destroys truth from us. There's only one creator, and that's God. That needs to be really deep in your spirit. I say it one more time. There's only one creator, and that's God. You know what we can conclude from that? Satan can't create. But he is the best imitator that has ever been. Everything he sees God doing, or everything that he has ever heard that God's going to do, he is imitating. The reason there is a city called Babylon that is being reformed even as we speak is because Satan knows of a different city that God comes down from God out of heaven called the New Jerusalem. The reason Satan rides in through the person of the Antichrist on a white horse is because he knows that Jesus is coming back in Revelation 19 on a white horse. He imitates everything that God does. Why does he want the earth? Because there's a heaven. See? And that's why he's so bummed out that the earth has been scarred through Satan's own imperfection. And for God to even think of putting a redeemed people on this earth. Are y'all getting the flow just a little bit? Let's read Ezekiel 28. We'll start reading with verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Now, let's just pause there. There are literal applications to the king of Tyrus. But as you read through the text, it's going to say some things where we know it's not just about the king of Tyrus, because there are things said that cannot be applied to the king of Tyrus. So it's an allegory used. It's a comparison, if you will, of the king of Tyrus and Satan. Okay? And this lamentation is actually a song, if you want to do it that way. And Haley's always talking about, writing sad songs. Well, none could probably be written any sadder than this. But listen to what it says here. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now, basically, what other translations would say it a little different, but let me give you the kind of the nuts and bolts of that one statement. What it indicates is that Satan had everything that he could possibly have given to him by God of wisdom and perfection, and that brings to him great beauty. How many of you have ever heard that Lucifer was a beautiful angel? Why was he so beautiful? Watch. Psalm 29 says this, let us worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and you can believe this, you don't have to believe it. So, again, all these things are up to you. You take it, it's up to, between you and God, okay? And I'm hoping that you'll get, can I tell you, the most beautiful people on the earth are people that walk in the holiness of God. Regardless of what the physical eyes see. I don't know no other way of saying this other than just to say it this way. You ever seen somebody and thought, that's got to be the ugliest person I ever seen in my life? I mean, don't go out in public. I thought that first time I saw Joey Gregg, right? I mean, just don't go out in public. You're ugly. You're hideous till you get to know him. And then when you get to know them, suddenly there's something strikingly beautiful about them. It's like they're transformed or something. So there is such a, and after a while you say, they're absolutely gorgeous. What is that? Did you know there is a spiritual element to beauty? Amen. And it's only found in holiness. It's only found in holiness. You know what made Lucifer so beautiful? He was holy. The whole matter was sealed up in him. And you know what makes you beautiful? It's when you worship the Lord in holiness. Who shall ascend to the hill of God but those with a clean heart, clean hands, and a pure heart? When holiness is something that you becomes a part of your life, which, by the way, you have none of. You can only get from the Lord. Did you hear that? So when beautiness, when holiness becomes a part of your life, beautiful is the description. So the elements of beauty is holiness, found in perfection of verse 12, and found in wisdom. Wisdom and perfection, or holiness, are the elements that brings about beauty. I'm glad it didn't say hair. Amen. I know Joe's glad. You're glad, right, Joe? Hair's not a part of beauty. Wisdom and holiness is a part of beauty. He goes on in verse 13 and watch this. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, here's why we know this is allegorical in some ways. The king of Tyrus wasn't in Eden. Satan was. Thou hast been in Eden. And then it got more specific than that. Not just the land of Eden, but you were in the garden that God planted. Did y'all hear that? When Adam and Eve was placed in the garden to dress and keep the garden, Satan was already there. Okay, now watch this. Listen to this. How many of you know that after Adam and Eve sinned, that's when they looked at each other and said, we're naked. Yeah. Right? And so they put fig leaves together and they covered themselves. They hid from God, fear being the number one response to sin. The first response when sin enters is fear. They hid from God, covering themselves. But look at what's said about in verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. Watch this. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. So there's a reference here to Lucifer being covered with precious stones, playing his music over the earth, full of holiness, full of wisdom. This is Lucifer in his original state. The anointed cherub that covers is the next line, verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I, God says, I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Man, there's so much here. And I should have probably started reading before. We're not going to get to Isaiah, I can tell. But look at verse 15. Thou wast perfect in thy ways. From the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. We're going to go through this scripture, but we'll have to do it next week. But as we get to verse 16, it's important we read these verses. Here's where you have to start drawing comparisons between the rest of this passage and Revelation 17 and 18. You have to draw those comparisons to understand the flavor and the context of the Bible in its entirety, okay? And I think it's extremely important that we understand it, because it also gives us a bearing on where we are in time right now and what we can do about what we see. I've talked about this before, and everybody looks at me like I'm crazy, but we're living in insane times where people are just doing stupid stuff. And you can't teach stupid. I'm just sorry. You can't. Listen, big difference between ignorance and stupid. It's not wrong to be ignorant. I'm ignorant of a lot of things. Ignorant means you just don't have all the information. Stupid means you got all the information and you keep doing the wrong thing anyway. And it seems like everybody's groping around on the earth right now because they woke up and took a stupid pill. Right? And listen to this. Can I just go one little step further and say that when God's people are congregating and we're preaching to them, it's like we're looking at stupid. Because I'm just sorry. I'm sorry. I don't mean that ugly. I mean that in a way to try to get us to wake up to the reality of where we are. And we've got to know where we are, because where we are is more real than where we are. Okay, so we start in verse 16 here, and it says this. This is where, if y'all could just please hear this. By the multitude of thy merchandise. Did you hear that? By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I'll destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I'll cast thee to the ground. I'll lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Big words. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all men that behold thee. Now we're going to stop reading there. Well, let's read verse 19, one more verse. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. So it takes you from the beginning of Lucifer to the end of Satan in that passage. If you compare that to Isaiah 14 that we don't have time to read now, you get a full flavor of what happened in Satan that caused the fall, that caused him to fall within himself. Because of time, we're not going to do this, but I'm going to save it for later, but grab a hold of this. So Satan is now on the earth, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. From a psychological standpoint, he's seeking to devour you as an individual. From a corporate standpoint and a collective standpoint, he's trying to rob the church of our triumphant perspective in God. He's trying to cause you to do the same thing in you that he did in him. The whole while, he is arranging this earth to be his domain once again. In other words, he's trying to reverse the trend and take back the authority from you that God gave to you that originally belonged to him. On this earth, he's building a capital city called Babylon to rival the capital city of heaven called the New Jerusalem. But here's the difference. We have this thing called the Word of God. Everybody say amen. Amen. And in this Word of God, this Bible, it declares what's going to happen. Okay? And in Revelation chapter 18, three different times it says, in 1 hour, Babylon is destroyed. In 1 hour, the merchandise, the economy of Satan is destroyed. In 1 hour, everything that Satan traffics is gone. 1 hour. We were amazed at the prophecy in the Old Testament said a nation would be born in a day. And we saw that happen. We have history of that. Even the secular world acknowledges it. Through the nation of Israel in 1948, a nation was born in a day. Please, somebody at least say amen or act like you're hearing me. Wake up, do something, snore. But what's this? A nation being born in a day is nothing in comparison to all of Satan's economy being destroyed in 1 hour. Everything Satan merchandises, both psychologically, materially, is gone in 1 hour, making way for the very next chapter. And the very next chapter is, and I saw the heavens open. And there was a rider on a white horse with all of the host of heaven behind him. And they're coming down through heaven to the earth. Y'all remember them portals we've been talking about? We've been talking about these. Look at all them lines. Portals being opened everywhere. Listen, I know that right now there's a lot of second heaven portals being opened. Satan is doing his business. But I can tell you this morning that you and I could intercede through the second heaven into the third heaven and open up a portal from third heaven, and the divine presence of God could invade this place and change your life and change my life and change our perspective. But be it known unto you, you're going to choose which side you're on. And staying the same way that you are is no choice. Staying like you are is signing up for Satan. And you, if you sign up for him, you're going to be destroyed in 1 hour. You'll be stripped of any beauty, void of wisdom, left with no perfection. I didn't get to this part. I'll just mention it and then we'll pray. I'll just mention it. Satan was the anointed cherub that covers. The covering that you and I have is the Lord Jesus himself. You ever thought of that? Listen, if you can't rejoice over that, you might need to check and see if you've truly been saved. Jesus, the Son of God, has decided to be to me my covering. He made that choice. To me, that's pretty awesome. And today, I choose to be on the winning side. Might strip me of all earthly good, but I'll be in heavenly joy and heavenly contentment because my spirit will be flourishing from within. Amen? Father, bless your word. and continue to do work in us, Lord. Lord, I feel like that these thoughts are rambling, but take them and use them for your glory, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.